has nothing to embellish. You know, it was all facts. You know, like when we walked down the hill the next day, or maybe even that night, but I don't think we did, you know, but we, after the bombing stopped and the sirens stopped, you know, that's another thing you want to remember. All during the time that we were running away, we ran out of the house, we went through the Botanic Garden, all this, all the way to the top of the hill that we ended, all that time, the siren is going because it got stuck, you know. The siren is usually, it goes on, tells you there's an air attack, but something got, and it kept going. It was eerie, it was scary, it was, you know, just nerve-wracking.
Poor Yvette.
Oh, yeah, the siren.
And you're probably stopped. In a state of, like, you don't even know if you're alive. You're just sort of like in a state of adrenaline,
yeah,
right?
You're like a robot, you know.
Your fight or flight has kicked in.
Yeah.
And then finally you sit and you relax on the hillside, maybe, and you fall asleep at some point. And at some point...
We did fall. I probably did fall asleep at some point.
And then you wake up in the morning, and what are your first thoughts? I don't know.
Well, we knew our house was gone,
you know.
So the first thing is we walked down the hill, whatever, and then we came to a crossroad, and there was an organization, just like the Red Cross.
Mm-hmm. You came back down the hill.
Some checking families and say names and stuff, you know, and then they said, okay, what you do, you go to this town, which was maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 kilometers away.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to this farm and tell them we send you, you know, whoever the Red Cross. It might have
been kind of like a Red Cross, huh?
Huh?
Kind of like a Red Cross.
Yeah. It was an organization that took care of refugees, people that lost their homes, you know.
Now, you hadn't eaten in a while, so they didn't feed you. At point did you finally get to eat?
When we finally got to eat, there was no food there. But we were used to...
Being hungry.
Be hungry, yeah.
And, you told me how you used to mix straw in with your bread.
That was later. It was after the war.
Really?
Yeah, it was after the war because there was so many shortages in France, you know. This was in France. And the baker, you know, to extend his flour, he would grind straw. You know, wheat comes from straw, you know, if you want. And so you find you in your loaf of bread, and we were, you know, in those days we didn't buy a loaf of bread, we bought 2-3 slices. That's all we could afford. That's all was available.
Wow.
You know, the baker had a loaf of bread like that and a slicing, you know, a cutter. How many slices? Boom, boom, boom. And that's how you know, you didn't go to the supermarket then.
Wow.
Yeah, people don't realize.
And then you, whole family, were sharing a slice of bread apiece?
If we were lucky. If not, we shared a slice.
Wow.
Anyway, so this baker...
And you ate a lot of...
In order to be able to make more bread, he would grind straw into his flour.
Yeah.
So, but sometimes you couldn't grind it that good, so you'd eat a piece of bread and you'd get a piece of straw in your gum.
And make you bleed.
It happened to me. I got a piece of, you know, in a gum. Oh, those are all the good things that happened during the war. How did I get here? How did I get here to Auburn?
Okay.
Anyway. Okay.